choking in the yoke. Got a little story for you about Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. They went camping one night, and they went to pitch their tent under the stars, and they went to sleep. Then sometime in the middle of the night, Holmes woke up Watson and said, "Watson, look up at the stars and tell me what you deduce." Watson says, I see millions of stars, and if even a few of those have planets, it's quite likely there are some planets like Earth. And if there are a few planets like Earth out there, there might also be life." And Holmes replies, "Watson, you idiot, somebody stole our tent." How often do we not see the obvious? Choking in the yoke. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20 is a parable that Jesus uses to teach his disciples. Actually, more than just his disciples. I want to start out by reading a portion of it and expounding on it a little bit with you and telling you a little bit of the background of the way in which Jesus taught here and see if you can see some of the things that are obvious and not so obvious. "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea." Verse 1. Not necessarily a key verse to the message, but a key to understanding why Jesus did what he did, where he did what he did. Now, what did Jesus do? He got into a boat. Why did he get into a boat to teach? Now, you may say, why? What did he do that for? What in the world was Jesus in a boat for if he's sitting there and there's a large group there? Well, to run away. No, he didn't run away. A lot of us will understand this if you're a boater, if you're a fisherman, if you've ever been out on the water. He got into the boat, and he got pushed out about, say, 20 yards out onto the water. And he sat there, and he faced the great multitude sitting in the boat. Water, the lake, the Sea of Galilee was a great amplifier for his voice. Water is a great way to amplify. It's a great way to send your voice a great distance and to make it sound louder than it normally is. So instead of having a sound system, he had the lake. Plus, it's a great way for people to not crowd around him. So everybody, by him getting pushed out 20 yards or so into the water, everybody could gather out on the rocks and rills of the shoreline and still pretty much get a good view of Jesus and see him and hear him. So he's out there and he's teaching and they're listening to him. And the multitude could see and they could hear him. And then it says, "Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching." All right. Why did he use parables, and what are parables? Parables are stories that teach a lesson by the use of common things to the people in the audience. A story by use of things that are ordinarily not used to teach the same story. Things that are common to the audience, but are not necessarily the exact lesson that you're trying to teach in a way. They teach the same lesson, but using an illustration of something that is very well known to the people that you are teaching. So Jesus' parables, Jesus' illustrations usually consisted of farming, fishing, or money. Why? Because most of his audience was either a farmer or fisher, and they all had to do what? Raise money, pay taxes, do things like that. So, here you go. He says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and it immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So, there was the lesson, there was the message. And then, in verse 10, but when he was alone, the 12 say, Jesus, the story about the seed and the ground and the stuff, we didn't get it. It's basically what verse 10 says. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And then in verses 13 through 20, he goes on and explains the parable. So, let me explain it to you in Jesus' words, as they are recorded by Mark. He said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. All right. Now we're going to focus on the third, the group there that was choked out and did not become fruitful. Notice it says choked out and did not become fruitful. It doesn't say anything about dying. It says was unfruitful. They were still plants growing, but stagnated in their growth so that they did not produce any fruit. They were basically a plant that looked like what it should be, but was not being all that it could be. Looked like what it should be, but was not all that it could be. Had a good outside, but because of what it was allowing to come up around it, and to be influencing it, And to surround it was not allowing itself to be fruitful. So, choking in the yoke brings me to my second piece of scripture, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Number one, what is a yoke? A yoke has nothing about it implies not working hard. A yoke has nothing about it that implies not having to put in effort. A yoke, in and of itself, has work in its definition of what it is. There is work to be done when a yoke is upon you. A yoke right there, that's a yoke that would be on an ox to pull a plow or whatever, an ox yoke. Notice how many holes there are. There are two holes for two necks to go in the yoke. Jesus says, place my yoke on you, because my yoke is easy. Notice he doesn't say, my yoke has nothing to do with work. My yoke doesn't imply anything to do with work. My yoke is work also, he's basically saying. Take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy. Or a better word would say, my yoke is easier on you than this world's yoke. And the world's yoke basically would have you think that it's even easier than mine, but it's not. But let's go on. Who can you fit? You can fit two heads in a yoke. What are your choices? What are our choices? Okay? Ourselves. We can put our own heads in there. Jesus. But let's go back. Ourselves. There's two holes there. We can choose to put ourselves in one hole and leave one hole empty, and then we're not going to get much of anything done. I'd really love to pull this down right now. It's not going to come too easy, is it? Nope. All right. Notice what the cross looks like there when you got that on there. You got two sides there, and you put it on shoulders of two people or two animals, and it can kind of resemble a yoke. But you put one person in there and the other side sort of drops down. You put it on one person or one animal, and the other animal can't really do the work because it'll just pull itself into the ground one way if a plow's on it. It'll just knock itself out. But you can put yourself into both holes too. After all, you got me, myself, and I to choose from, right? You can choose yourself to put in both holes and just say, I can do it. Me, myself, I can do it. Or you can choose Jesus to put in there with you. Like he said, choose my yoke, it's easy. Or you can choose the world. And by the world, what I mean by that is anything that can substitute Jesus, any type of idol, anything that takes his place, anything that pushes him out of your life, anything that takes up more, takes a higher priority in your life, takes up more time in your life than Jesus does. So, there's our three choices. How do we choke in the yoke? Well, we choke in the yoke by not putting on the right yoke, number one, or resistance from going the wrong direction. If we want to go this way, and the yoke is fitted or pulling us to go this way, we're going to pull and pull and pull and try to go the wrong direction, and we're going to have this resistance yanking on our neck, and we're going to choke. And we're going to have all kinds of resistance choking and pulling on us, trying to tell us we need to turn around and get going from the wrong direction into the right direction. We may have the wrong yoke on. We don't have Jesus' yoke on. We have our own yoke. We have the world's yoke. We have a yoke that wasn't fit for us. We have a yoke that wasn't designed for us on. It's too tight. It's wrong. It's in just totally not what was designed for us to wear. So sooner or later, it chokes us out. It comes up around us and says, now I got you where I want you, and slowly strangles all the life out of us. And third, not being able to lift it. Sooner or later, we're there trying to lift it by ourselves. We become so tired. Then all of a sudden, we're down on the ground, and we've struggled so long that we have just buried ourselves into the ground with it. And we have choked ourselves out by trying to do it by ourselves for so long. We have buried ourselves with our yoke and strangled ourselves with our yoke. So, what do we do about it? We do what Jesus said. Come to Him. We have a lot of things in our life that are vying for our attention. We have a lot of things that are saying, come to me, 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 come to me. There's only one thing that is worthy of our attention. There's only one thing, one person, that is worthy of our full life and our full 100% sold out attention, and that's Jesus. And when we do that, then things are easier, because when it says my yoke is easy, yes, it's going to be a chore or a job to get through life. We're still going to have to work at it. But with Jesus pulling with us, when we become weak and we are tired, He is able, with the strength of the God of the universe, to pull when we can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we are distracted to go in the wrong direction, He gently nudges us and says, come on, we need to go this way, not that way. When we are tempted to just give up, He says, you rest for a while. I'll pick you up. I can do it. You just let me pull the whole weight. And then, even though we may not think we have what it takes, He reassures us we don't have to have what it takes. We just have to be with the One who does, because He has all we need. So there's no death for those who are choked out by the thorns. they just need a real good application of herbicide that is specifically designed to kill the thorns. And then they can become fruitful. And Jesus is able to save even those who are being choked out. So, even though there's nothing about Roundup Ready seed being scattered in there, Jesus has the ability to spray a little bit of Roundup on his Roundup Ready seed. And then we need to scatter a little bit more Roundup Ready seed as we go out there and share God's word with others in the yoke that he's designed for us, in the power that he supplies us, going the direction that he points us. And then we won't choke in the yoke. So, are you ready to go where he leads us? I am, as long as he'll go with me.